Good morning. Ecclesiastes 5 is a great place to open your Bible. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. It's good to be together today. It is a rainy day, and the river is full, but we're dry, and we're inside, and we're warm. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you're avoiding the flu. We got word this week that many of you know we have a group that regularly takes the Lord's Supper and does a brief service over at the Waters at the nursing home, and also a group at Carriage House. I don't know what the status of the Waters is this morning, but I know that Carriage House is on a little bit of a shutdown today because of the flu. And I hope you're avoiding sickness, and I hope that things are going well for you in the middle of this winter time. Time is what we've talked about most of this calendar year. I want to conclude that series today. The title is simply The Precious Gift of Time. Time is what we're in from the moment we're conceived until we die. God's not in our time frame. But this life under the sun is under this thing we call time. You'll notice a series of statements here of things that I have said in the past few weeks about time. First of all, we looked at Ephesians 5, where he talks about redeeming the time. And the question there was, what are you doing with your time? Are you being responsible in how you spend your time? And in that lesson, as in all the other lessons, it's an encouragement that you be responsible for how you spend your time. Most often, when somebody says, I don't have time for that, what they mean by that is, I have a priority system, and that is not very high on my priority system because I've got a bunch of other stuff stacked in on top of it. How do you spend your time, and do you do it responsibly? In the second lesson, we talked about taking 5 minutes to prepare for eternity. In that lesson, we quoted several passages from Psalms 46, from Matthew 25, stand still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. And then we looked at 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins, and we realized that those who were prepared simply had taken about 5 minutes to take enough oil with them for their lamps while they waited on that bridegroom. And speaking of time, any person who has come to believe that Jesus is Lord, in about 5 minutes, can prepare for the coming of the bridegroom. And then we talked about God's time. And we said quite simply that without God's favor, our time is basically wasted. And we looked at Psalms 90. It's a psalm of Moses, believe it or not. We believe the setting of it is at the very end of his life on this earth. It's after these people have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They're about to enter the promised land. That's the great psalm in which we are told to number our days. That's the great psalm in which Moses says quite simply, only God can establish the work of our hands. And basically, Moses says, God, we know what you've done. We've witnessed this generation that died in the wilderness, and we understand that everybody here now was 20 years or younger when the great sins occurred. But here's the deal, God. If you do not show us your favor, all of our time is wasted. It's a great reminder, Psalms 90, of how precious our time is. And then last week, last Sunday morning, we emphasized the idea of waiting on God. Much of what we do is wait on God. God acts in His time, not ours. There are those who even had the promise but didn't receive the promise. They lived and died not receiving the promise. Psalms 25 and other passages remind us that we should not be ashamed to wait on the Lord. And we should wait on the Lord all day long. God's schedule requires us to be waiting. With our precious gift of time, let us be thankful, and yet let us use our time wisely. Let me give you 3 points, and then the series of lessons will be yours. First of all, God enables us to enjoy our time. The passage is Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 through 20, the one Jan read a few moments ago. I realized Solomon says that it's good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the days of life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. You understand, the next time when spring arrives and you go out, and this is my case, I don't know what you get satisfaction out of, but I really don't enjoy weed eating, but I weed eat. I really don't enjoy trimming shrubbery, but I trim the shrubs. And I don't necessarily enjoy cutting grass, but I cut the grass. And so I weed eat and I trim the shrubs and I cut the grass, and the yard is greened up and everything looks good, and I might not enjoy doing it, but I enjoy driving in the driveway and saying, man, this yard looks pretty good. I enjoy that. Some people who are craftsmen who make things like to form a piece of furniture, and they do a great job. Both of my sons have made some of the furnishings of their house. This woodworking deal skipped a generation. It missed mine, but it hit them, and it had a hold of my dad, and they've made beds and coffee tables and dining room tables even, and they can... Look at the work of my hands. And we go in and we say, that's the work of their hands. That really looks good. The next time you accomplish something in life, the next time you do something and then you kind of stand back and say, man, I'm really proud of that. I mean, I'm really satisfied. Here's what Solomon says. That feeling of satisfaction that you have is a gift of God. You see, some people work and work and work and work and work and work and work, and they never find satisfaction in what they do. And some people are absolutely 100% possessed by their possessions. They never have enough of anything. And all they do is work to get a little bit more, and then the little bit more is kind of a vicious cycle, because when they were here, they were dissatisfied. When they were here, they're dissatisfied. When they get here, they're going to be dissatisfied. They're never going to be able to sit back and be thankful that they have what they have and enjoy what they have. Some people work and they are consumed by their possessions. And some people, just never recognize that principle from Psalms 90 about, God, we got to have your favor, and you have to establish the work of our hands. Or basically, the work of our hands is wasted, and we'll never have satisfaction. So you recognize that when you look back, and when you feel satisfied, and when you feel blessed, and when you're rejoicing in the gifts that God has given you in life, that feeling of satisfaction, Solomon says, Ecclesiastes 5, is a gift of God. Now you understand, there's enough Bible teaching to go around here. We're not to love mammon. We're not to be possessed by it. We're to have a spiritual emphasis to all that we do. But to the degree that we enjoy a moment of life and we find satisfaction in the labor of our hands, Solomon says clearly, that's God's gift to you. Now, he's done enough of saying in Ecclesiastes 1, I labored, I had houses, I had vineyards, I had men servants, I had maid servants, I had dancers, I had singings, I had it all. And I looked around and life was empty. He uses the word vanity of vanities. Empty, empty, empty. And it's one of the things that God gave Solomon in that great wisdom that he gave him. It's the idea that you can be empty and have all of those things, but to the degree that you enjoy some piece of your life, some work of your life, some accomplishment of your life, to that degree, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. The truth of Ecclesiastes 5 is first that God gives us every gift, and second, it is that God gives us the presence of mind to pleasure or to take pleasure in those gifts and to sit back and realize that everything is a gift of God. If you'll do that as you make out your time schedule, I think you'll be blessed. The second thing I want you to be aware of today is the idea that with our gift of time, we should seek peace and pursue it. How big is our want to? How big is your want to? There are those who don't want peace. They love turmoil. They like to see it stirred up a little bit. Listen to the 34th Psalm. Fear the Lord, all you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, yet those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever among you loves life and desires to see many good days, here's what you need to do. Verse 13, Psalms 34. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I have come to recognize people, and I think my observation skills about people have probably improved over the years. I used to see different personalities and not really recognize everything that I was seeing. There are people that I know right now that I could go and talk to them today, and I'll guarantee you they're full of gripe. I'll guarantee you things aren't good for them. I saw an old boy this past week who's been preaching the gospel for years, and I've always thought he must be the worst preacher that ever was because he's the most negative person I've ever met. And he groans and he gripes and he complains. And most of the places where he's been, and he lasted about 2 years, it never has been his fault. It's always been the brethren's fault. That's why he didn't get along with those folks. And I saw him this week, and he was a little bit, I won't go so far as to say he was positive, but he's had a couple of mini strokes, and he's more humble than he used to be, and he's more sedate than he used to be. And I was actually enjoyed encountering him because I think for the first time since I've known him, he didn't gripe. I'm just telling you, there are people who have nothing but turmoil in their life, and that's what they like, and that's what they enjoy. They've never thought about seeking peace and pursuing it. They've never decided to improve the quality and the atmosphere of their life. They've just never done that. They're just happy being miserable. Philip Patterson said in Redeeming the Time, he says, we need to quit thinking of peace as a byproduct. From our early adulthood, we're tempted to think that peace is a byproduct. We're tempted to think that we will have peace when we have financial freedom. And then we think, well, we're going to have peace when we get those kids raised. And then we think we're going to have peace when we overcome this illness or this disease. And then we think we're going to have peace when we get to retire. And what we find out, sometimes too late, is that peace is not a byproduct. It's an end in and of itself. And so for those of you who want, Patterson says, a 25-hour day, and you say to yourself, well, it just doesn't make sense to seek peace in the midst of a 25-hour day. But then again, Patterson reminds us, it doesn't make sense to try to get through a 25-hour day without a little peace. And the reality is, some of us say, oh, I can't get it done. I need more time. Guess what? If you squander the 24 you've given, if you squander the opportunities in 24 hours, guess what you'll do with 25 hours? You'll just squander another hour. If you don't seek peace in the 24 hours God gives you every day, you'll not seek it in the 25th hour. You don't need more time. You need to seek peace in the time that you have. The reality is that there are passages like Philippians 4 in which the apostle presents to us the idea, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I suggest Philippians 4 to your reading. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned to be full and to be hungry. I've abounded and I've suffered need. What have you learned, Paul? To be content. There's a point in time in which we must take what life is and make the best out of it. And Paul had learned that. And it doesn't surprise me at all that in Philippians chapter 4, right when the apostle says, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content, he then says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That old boy I saw this past week who was always miserable, who never understood that it could be him, I hope he's learned a little something. I hope if you've chosen in this life to be absolutely miserable, that you've never received any pleasure out of any accomplishment you or your children or anybody's ever had. I hope those of you who have nothing but conflict, I hope that you will take some time to seek peace and pursue it. If you decide not to seek peace, and if later on you become financially independent, if later on you retire, if as an old man or an old woman, if you still don't have peace, guess what? Don't complain. If you didn't seek it when you were 25 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70, then you're not going to have it when you're 80. Seek peace and pursue it. That's a great thing that we need to be doing with our time. Last but not least, I want you to think about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. This is some people's favorite passage of the Old Testament. It's very, very popular. I want you to think of it in what I would call a balanced proportion. And as I read through this, I want you to simply realize that every one of us in this room, everybody within the sound of my voice right now, we're going to face each one of these at some time in our life. If you've escaped one of these things, congratulations. But guess what? You're not going to go through your whole life escaping all these things. Listen as the wise man speaks. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, there's a time to search and a time to give up. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden that God has laid on men. God, verse 11, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, here's what happens. Most of us, and the world does this, and I'm sorry to say Christians do this too. And I'm suggesting this morning that you get over it. We think this is a cafeteria line. Now, some of you really like cafeteria lines. You like it when you go down and you got options. You got 3 or 4 different kinds of meat. You got 10 different kinds of vegetables. You got 4 different kinds of desserts. And you really like that because you can choose which meat and which vegetable and which dessert. And boy, when they say all you can eat, then you just, you go nuts then. You really like that part of it. That's just the way we view life. Here's what I'm going to suggest to you from Ecclesiastes 3. You cannot escape any one of these things. Now, I can't comment on all of them this morning. But I want you to think about balance. Balance. A time to be born and a time to die. That's one of the realities of our life, is that just as sure as we were born, we have to face the reality that we are going to die. Now, we don't spend every day, all day thinking about that, but it's a reality that's coming our way. A time to plant and a time to uproot. The balance between those two. A time to tear down and a time to build. Did y'all see a few weeks ago when they blew up the Lifeway building down off Broad in Nashville? I remember this building. This building's been built in my lifetime. It looked like a fairly nice, good building to me. And part of my logic says, why would you blow up and get rid of a completely good building? And the reality is there's very, very, very high value property under that building, and a bigger and a better building is coming. A time to tear down. Some of us recognize there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. Some of us fall prey to always keeping and never throwing away. I can walk into your garage. I imagine I can look in your attic. I might be able to walk through your living room and visually see whether you understand there's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away. Maybe if you have uncluttered your house and your life, you've learned that there are things that are nice to keep. You have little keepsakes. I understand emotional attachment to things, but sometimes keeping is just not what you need to do. Sometimes letting go is what you need to do. Sometimes throwing away is what you need to do. A time for war and a time for peace. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. What if a person entered grief? And all of us know there are some real good reasons to grieve over some things. The loss that some people have in their life. The immediacy of some loss which just absolutely throws you to the ground. It changes your gut feeling. It makes it where you can't eat and maybe you can't even sleep. And it absolutely 100% disturbs your physical and your psychological makeup. I understand that. There's a time for that. Been through some of that occasionally myself, but not to the degree that some people have. But suppose you just stayed there. Suppose you never did anything but grieve. You never did anything but weep. Suppose all laughter was removed from your life. What kind of life would you have? What kind of life would you have if all you did was weep, but you never laughed? If all you did was mourn, but you never danced? Boy, dancing. I don't even know what dancing is in the original word right here. I know that when people danced in the Old Testament, it's because they were just so overjoyed, they didn't know what else to do with themselves. You ever seen a kid just get so happy, they jump up and down? That's dancing. Suppose all you did was mourn and you never danced. Suppose all you did was have conflict, war, but you never had any peace. All I'm telling you is we need to find an approximation on all of these things. We need to find a balance on all of these things. We need to recognize that, okay, life has some serious moments, but it has some fun moments too. It has some moments of great grief and sorrow and pain, but it is not void of joy, particularly joy in the Lord. And rejoicing, and again I say rejoice, is another thing you'll find over in Philippians. It is not even suggested that we totally, absolutely go to some monastery somewhere and live like monks with our heads bowed and a tear rolling down our cheek. Is there a time and place for that? Yes. Is that all of life? No. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Patterson, in his book on time, says we need to change the definition of a full day. It's not a day where we do a lot of one thing, for instance. It's a day where we do several things in their rightful proportion. I like that. I like that. Having that admixture, that variety in our life. So some of you are all grief and no joy. Some of you are all joy and no grief. You need balance. You need balance. Let me close it out with the last part of that Ecclesiastes 3 reading. Look at verse 12. I love this summary, and I'm going to let it be my summary of my lesson on time. I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of his toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And then he adds this tagline. And I think it's a good summary of our series on time. God does this. You are in a limited time frame to accept or reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. you have but a few moments to be happy and to be sad, to rejoice and dance and to grieve. The clock's ticking. Why? God does this so that men will revere Him. Our time and opportunity is a precious gift of God. What are you doing with that opportunity? I can tell you what would make today a great day, and that's to hear somebody confess that Jesus is Lord and to witness your baptism into Christ. We got time for that, folks. We got time for that right now. We got all afternoon to witness your acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?
All things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time. In Your time.
Special announcement about our meeting today on VBS. Let me remind you that we have faith building tonight at 6 o'clock. We've got a lesson here in the auditorium on Elijah, and we got something for every age back here in the annex. And several of you parents have commented lately about the value you place on our Sunday night assembly and some of the things that are happening in our Bible classes and our youth group. And I hope you'll come and take advantage of that. It'll be a good night at 6 o'clock to come do that. And then our Valentine banquet. It's just fun, folks. It's just fun. It's a time of rejoicing. And we do invite your whole family. And we do ask you to sign up today so that this Honduras team is preparing the meal that they will, they'll know how much to prepare. And we're going to put some buckets out. It really doesn't cost you anything. Money is not required, but we're going to put some buckets out, and if you want to throw a few bucks in there to help send this Honduras team to the mission field this coming June, I hope that you'll take advantage of that and enjoy doing that. But the night itself will be, ladies, we're going to serve you. We will close out with a very brief devotional and a Bible thought. So it's just a fun evening, and if you haven't experienced it, I hope you'll come and be a part of it. So let's just have a great night tonight at 6 and Wednesday night at 6. And let Josh come and exhort the brethren.
Just real quick, I know you're thinking that it's February, so why in the world are we having a VBS meeting? But if you haven't already heard, VBS is going to be June 10th through the 13th. And Lord willing, I'm going to have like a one-week-old baby that week. So I'm trying to get everything done ahead of time. The elders have asked us to really push for a lot of an evangelistic outreach during that week. So we're going to do some things a little bit differently. We need a lot of different people involved, not just teachers or craft workers or snack. We need, if you're interested in evangelism, you're interested in teaching young people and adults the Bible, we've got a place for you, and we want to just go ahead and try to fill in some of those roles. It'll take about 10 minutes after Bible class. We'll meet in room 11. So just come in there if you're interested at all. Even if you can't be there that week, we'll have some stuff for you to do ahead of time. So please join us for that meeting real quick today. Thank you.
Number 461. Be not dismayed, whatever time, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you.
Before we pray, I just want to thank everyone yesterday that came out and helped us move items from one house to a storage facility for the Honduras Yard Sale Mission. I want to thank the Jones girls especially. They identified some things, a bunch of things, I might say, that we're going to be able to have in our yard sale for Honduras, and we were able to get that moved. And everybody that was there, it was 19 or 20. I counted 19 once. I counted 20 once. I don't know. I'm going to go with 20 because I like more. But I do know that I was really happy to see Roger pull up with that trailer yesterday to help us get that stuff moved. We started at 9. We were done by 11:23, so very efficient moving process. So if you have those items Jeff was talking about in his sermon that you might want to throw away, if you want to donate those for a yard sale before you throw them away, we'll be happy to take them. And we've got storage for them. So if you would, the Valentine's Banquet, I just want to talk about that really, really fast. If you would, please sign up. I know this is the third time it's been announced this morning, but we're making trips to Sam's and different places to get the food, and we just want to make sure not only that we have enough, but everybody that wants to come, we know that we can count on them. And then the one last thing I would add to that, we will have babysitters. So if the excuse is that I'm not coming to the Valentine's banquet because I have my kids, no longer an excuse, we'll have babysitters here, so please sign up so we can get a good number in the back, and that's be most appreciated. One last thing on Honduras, I would tell you, we're joining Cedar Creek, Texas, on our trip, okay? And we're going to do several things. We're going to do a medical brigade. That's one thing we're going to do, but we're going to do several other things with this opportunity to join Cedar Creek. So we'll go on January 23rd. We'll come back on June 23rd. We'll come back on June 30th. That's Saturday to Saturday. So if you are interested and going on this mission trip, February 25th, we're going to have a meeting. Please be there because time is getting crunched, and I need everybody that's going to be there so that we can go ahead and make those plane tickets, reservations, etc. Okay? So we're looking at possibly not only a medical but a dentistry. We're looking at VBS, and we're also looking at construction. So with this group joining together, a lot of opportunities for everybody. All right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us in our lives. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for your church, Lord. And we just ask that you bless us in this week, that you keep us safe and healthy, Lord. And for anyone here, Lord, that may be sick or may be struggling or is just having a hard time in their life, Lord, I just pray that you will come into their heart and help them this week, Lord, and whatever it may be that they need. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be evangelists. Lord, that you'll help us to seek out opportunities that may be in front of us and not to turn from them, to help others, Lord, seek you. And Lord, I just ask that as we go to Bible school, Lord, that you'll open our hearts, open our minds to take in more of your word and just keep us safe in this week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.